For KBIA News, I'm George Varney. What was supposed to be a peaceful protest against the killing of an 18-year-old student by police in Ferguson last night turned into a night of violence in the area. Rachel Lippman reports.
State Senator Jamila Nasheed tried to lay the groundwork before she led a march up toward West Florissant, the main street in Ferguson.
I repeat, this is a very peaceful protest. Our fight will be in the court.
But it didn't take long for a group of protesters to begin throwing rocks and bottles at the police line and police cars that drove through trying to break up the crowd. A group of protesters then began looting a Quick Trip near the scene of the shooting. It was later set ablaze. Looting and gunfire spread throughout the region and continued into the early morning. As one young woman walking up the street explained, if they hadn't killed the kid, we wouldn't be doing this. 18-year-old Michael Brown was shot and killed by a Ferguson police officer Saturday afternoon. Police say Brown and another individual attacked the officer first. I'm Rachel Lippman.
Governor Jay Nixon may be the primary reason a proposed transportation sales tax failed this week at the polls, according to one political expert. Marshall Griffin has details.
George Connor, political science professor at Missouri State University, says Governor Nixon's decision to place the 3/4-cent sales tax on the August primary ballot likely doomed it to failure because most of the state's primary races drew in GOP voters.
You know, there might have been Democratic voters in St. Louis and Kansas City who said, you know, this is a regressive tax and not what I believe in, and I'm going to vote against it. But it was really the overwhelming number of Republicans voting in the primary that made the difference.
Connor says Republicans who vote in primaries are more conservative than those who only vote in November and thus more likely to vote against a tax increase. In Jefferson City, I'm Marshall Griffin.
Retired financier Rex Sinkfeld has donated millions this year to candidates, ballot initiatives, and support groups, but as Jason Rosenbaum reports, Sinkfeld has mixed success in last week's primary.
So far this year, Sinkfeld has contributed nearly $4.5 million to candidates, ballot initiatives, and supportive groups. Some of that money flowed to candidates who are competing in last week's primary election. About 20 candidates receiving some level of Sinkfeld support won, including Republican St. Louis County Executive nominee Rick Stream. But Sinkfeld's money wasn't enough to help dislodge four Republican lawmakers who voted against overriding a 2013 tax cut bill. Missouri Club for Growth, a group almost completely funded by Sinkfeld, spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to help defeat the incumbent lawmakers. Sinkfeld has donated tens of millions of dollars over the past few years, making him the state's most prolific political donor. I'm Jason Rosenbaum.
Missouri's Medicaid program is leading the nation in the number of people dropped from its rolls. New figures from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services show that Missouri's Medicaid enrollment dropped by over 37,000 people in June, compared with its average enrollment from July through September of last year. That was the largest numerical decrease of any state, though it ranks second behind Nebraska in terms of the percentage decline. Missouri, Nebraska, Alabama, and Wyoming were the only states that reported enrollment declines during that period, which coincided with the launch of the new online insurance marketplace required under the federal health care law. Missouri's Medicaid program switched to a new computer system during that time and also experienced delays in verifying referrals from the federally run insurance website. What was supposed to be a peaceful protest against the killing of an 18-year-old student by police in Ferguson last night turned into a night of violence in the area, Rachel Lippman reports.
State Senator Jamila Nasheed tried to lay the groundwork before she led a march up toward West Florissant, the main street in Ferguson. But it didn't take long for a group of protesters to begin throwing rocks and bottles at the police line and police cars that drove through trying to break up the crowd. A group of protesters then began looting a Quick Trip near the scene of the shooting. It was later set ablaze. Looting and gunfire spread throughout the region and continued into the early morning. As one young woman walking up the street explained, if they hadn't killed the kid, we wouldn't be doing this. 18-year-old Michael Brown was shot and killed by a Ferguson police officer Saturday afternoon. Police say Brown and another individual attacked the officer first. I'm Rachel Lippman.
The Reverend Al Sharpton says the shooting is very disturbing and the civil rights leader is planning a visit to make that known. Sharpton tells the Associated Press that he's spoken with the grandfather of Michael Brown and plans to meet with the family in person Monday night or Tuesday in Ferguson, Missouri. That's where St. Louis County Police Chief John Belmar says the shooting happened Saturday afternoon after an officer scuffled with one of the two men. Brown was shot multiple times and died, though the investigation continues. Sharpton cautions against anyone reacting to Brown's death with violence, but he says, quote, obviously we want a fair investigation. A legal challenge to Missouri's gay marriage ban returns to court in St. Louis. The city issued marriage licenses to four same-sex couples in June, setting up a court fight in a state where gay marriage is banned under a 2004 amendment to the Missouri Constitution. St. Louis officials have agreed to stop issuing marriage licenses to gay couples pending resolution of the legal case and others in state and federal courts. Online court records list today's proceedings before St. Louis Circuit Judge Rex Burlinson as a status hearing. An American Civil Liberties Union challenge on behalf of two same-sex couples who were denied marriage licenses in Jackson County has been moved from state to federal court at the request of Missouri Attorney General Chris Koster. Many farmers own guns, yet the right to bear arms fared better than the right to farm in Missouri's recent elections. Voters approved a constitutional amendment enhancing gun rights by 61% of the vote. A constitutional amendment creating a right to farm got just 50.1% of the vote. There was a general city-country divide. The gun and farm measure fared better in rural areas than in bigger cities, yet the reason for the closer margin on the farming amendment wasn't solely because of weaker support for it in suburban St. Louis and Kansas City. An AP analysis of election results showed that some of the largest percentage drop-offs in yes votes between the gun and farming amendments occurred in southern Missouri, particularly the clump of counties surrounding the Springfield to Branson corridor. For KBIA News, I'm George Varney.